Welcome to the Queen Divas, Queens of Fitness podcast. Join your hosts, three-time WBFF world champions and WBFF royalty, Alicia Gowans and Stephanie Ayala McHugh, as we explore all things female health, training, competing, mindset, and living the fitness life every day.
So super excited to tune in with you all today to discuss a topic that I think is really quite relevant for anyone at any stage of health, fitness, life in general. And that is the importance of actually having a really great social support network and the impact that can have on your, you know, underlying goal success. So before we get into that though, Steph and I, it's been a hot minute. Let's discuss the things that have been a highlight of our week perhaps that has passed and what we're focusing on at the moment. What's been yours, Steph?
Oh man, I don't know if you guys have kept up or have seen any of my stories or anything, but I left and we actually went. And let me just start with this. Here in the US, things are starting to open up more and more within the states. And in Florida, there was the first all fully sold out crowded event with the UFC. And we were actually able to, of course, be a part of it. We definitely flew out to watch three championship title fights, which were honestly the best fights I've ever seen in my life. Of course, it was the top women, you know, in their divisions, in the flyweight division. And as I forget what the other division is called, but honestly, they're just beastly. You're just sitting there watching them and it's just the most intense fighting, as well as obviously like Masvidal and forget the other guy's name is horrible, but he actually won. It's bad. It's bad whenever you remember the underdog over the actual champion.
Yeah.
When you're going under the champion, you know? So it was a very, very fun event. And I think for us, it was just more of like that big milestone here that was actually like more to normalcy and bringing back like just the reminder that there is a world to live and, you know, back to being in crowds again. And it's scary for some people, but honestly, like it's one of those hurdles that we all have to overcome. And it was just really freaking cool to be a part of it. So that kind of hyped me up, honestly, for the worlds, because it was a championship title fight for all these women. So it kind of got me a little ramped up for my prep alone. But that was my highlight.
That's awesome. And you know, I actually saw someone else posting about which was the first thing I've seen like this. I think, forgive me, but it might have been in Dallas. Big festival.
Yes, you're right.
Wow.
Yeah, in Florida too. In Florida, there has been a few festivals that, you know, it's just more of protocols. Like they do the rapid testing. You're still getting actually tested and do rapid testing on site. And, you know, then you go into the event and you don't have to social distance back to like what the normal life was before. So it is just kind of taking a few extra protocols. You sign a few waivers. Of course, you know, like I said, you get the testing done and there is some things that are different, but it's back to kind of living. Yeah. The concerts and fights and, you know, obviously shows. So it brings some excitement, obviously, as you know. I think you guys had a really amazing event too. I don't know how the protocols were, but you guys had a pretty good crowd, I thought.
Yeah, an amazing crowd. And, you know, speaking of events and stuff kicking back off, we're kind of the same in the sense where we're just getting, you know, comedians coming back out. We're doing live productions. I literally just finished buying tickets the other day for my in-laws and Christos, myself, to go and watch American Psycho. So just really cool events and productions being put on. So I do agree with that. But we haven't even had a festival here yet. So that's pretty huge. I'm like, I saw the festival. I was like, wow, this is crazy. So can you just explain, though, what is rapid testing? I've not heard of this before.
Oh, really? You guys aren't aware what rapid test. So a lot of the events here are starting to actually do the testing to where it is on site. And it is just going to be within a few minutes. You're going to know if you are, you know, obviously with COVID or not, and you can go right in and you do a few waivers. And of course, like I said, it's just kind of a few more loopholes and things that, you know, every company I think is going to have to take just because of all the legalities, right, that are going on with COVID. But it's just, it's fun to see things to unravel and see like, okay, it may be an extra step. Everyone is still willing to do it because we're ready to, you know, get back out there. And yeah, it was just one of those things. Like I said, it's like a big, big turning point here in the US because it was the first event that was, like I said, fully sold out. It was 15,000 fans around the ring.
That's crazy because I can't even, you know, it's been so long since you've seen crowds that big in any one environment. So it's like, especially if you're not even social distancing because you've all been rapid testing cleared, it would be so strange to watch. But that's super exciting. Super exciting.
Yeah. But yeah, and so how about you, what was some of your highlights of the week? I know you've,
Okay. So, I mean, other than the fact that a little bit like you, I guess we can start booking some stuff for you know, the future events. Like we've also got a couple of comedian shows we're going to. Jim Jefferies is coming. Oh my God. I love Jim Jefferies. He's so funny. So we're booking him to go watch him as well. So just some cool stuff like that. But also I think, you know, which we find exciting, but it's probably pretty boring for some people. We're doing a massive renovation on our extension, I should say, on our home. So where, you know, people would have seen over the course of COVID, I did an entire little outdoor gym area in our home, which was phenomenal. I mean, we've got absolutely everything we needed, but the only issue is we're coming into storm season. We've just come out of a little bit of stormy season. And when it's really torrential, because it gets really quite, you know, tropical here, all of my stuff gets really wet. So I'd said to Chris, I was like, I'd really love to have that actually built in properly. We're actually, you know, going through the process of getting it all, you know, through government approval. So, you know, development approval, and we're going to have it. So we're creating it so it can actually be then a little hub for me to do all of my videos for my online stuff, which is very cool. So it's going to be this amazing extension, but there's then this amazing sort of space for us to go into and train, but then also do all of my content. So that's pretty cool. But then on the flip side to it, I said to him, well, if I get my little zone, because that's definitely more me than him, even though he'll do a little bit of stuff in there. I said, I need to do one for you. So now we've mapped out the entire man cave out the back is actually our fresco dining area, because you all know how much Christos loves to cook. So it's literally now, and this is a good thing, actually, this kind of leads into what our discussion point of today is how strong of a social support network that we actually have and that we are for each other, right? And so, you know, social support, when we're talking about it, is more than just, you know, whether or not someone's on board with your goals. It's someone actually being there to support you emotionally, practically, inspirationally, like on every level, right? And doing the small things that contribute to what it is that your objectives are and what you're trying to achieve. And so, you know, just even looking, when I think about it in hindsight, the way that we approached this extension was really quite cool, because that's a really big indicator of how we are supporting one another's individual needs and wants and, you know, drivers, really. And so, you know, I don't know about you, Seth, because you're very lucky too with Kerry. It's very similar, right? We're very blessed and we have great family networks, but it's not like that for everyone. And I'm sure you've got a lot of clients that have had some significant issues over the years with regards to maybe having, you know, some negative behaviors around people around them, or, you know, maybe just being completely alone.
Right. Just being the unsupportiveness, right? From some people that are just gonna be the naysayers, the doubters, the ones that are always going to tell you what you're doing is pretty crazy. They don't align with your vision, and they shouldn't. That's not obviously for them. When you want more and you don't want to be mediocre, I think the biggest level of success is leveling up your inner circle, right? Is just being surrounded by those that are actually like-minded to you. And absolutely, I think the biggest sabotage I've seen within some clients is either their relationships just do not match the same wants within their lifestyle, or just not having that support. Maybe they just don't care. They don't live that lifestyle. They just are not supportive. So like you said, they're alone. They're really alone. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that most beginners, I'll say beginners, because they don't have that support system, as well as they don't really have the mindset to overcome the negative, you know, chatter that comes with just not trying to be negative. I feel sometimes your family is honestly just uneducated. They're uneducated and to start giving you a lot of crap, just a myth. And then they start trying to just fill your head with a lot of negativity. And out of love sometimes, and love can really turn into something that is it's a tough topic that we could actually, you know, obviously touch with this support. Because some of your people can be the ones that are actually the most toxic when it comes to the support system side.
100%. And look, you know, I think finding support for, you know, weight loss efforts can make the difference between success and failure. If it's an actual fitness related, health related, or weight loss related endeavor and goal, I think having support is paramount, right? But look, whether you're undertaking something new in life, no matter what it is, whether it's, you know, interpersonal, professional, it's, you know, weight loss, it's career change, it's a big move, anything at all that requires you to step outside of your comfort zone and is, you know, intended to change your life for the better, it's important to surround yourself with people that are actually going to support this goal and that are going to be very supportive of your journey throughout the entire process. Because as anyone knows, anything big and life-changing is going to take time, and it's going to take some falls and some pick you back up and some learnings and some lessons and making mistakes, right? It's not linear and it's not all one way. You know, it's like that meme that you see going around. It's not this straight line. It's this big squiggly all over the shop, up and down. And that goes for every aspect of life, right? So if we're looking at it from the point of view of social support being something that is part of our basic needs as a human. If you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? The basic five principles at the bottom, you know, and safety, security, stability, all these things are part of it. But one of the biggest things actually is our need for connection. So okay, this is where, you know, this social support stuff and the stuff we talk about is really important. And so, you know, for anyone that's listening to this, if you've ever felt like maybe being a bit of a pussy because you think, you know, you needing someone is weakness or vulnerability that you're not willing to do, or that you think that it's not something that we all need, you'd be totally and utterly incorrect. It's something that we actually need at our fundamental, most basic requirements in life. And then everything else kind of stems from that, right?
Absolutely. The only thing, we can't rely on it. I think one of the things is we sometimes start relying a lot of the energy that someone being there and really holding our hands, when in reality, this is your journey. They're not going to force you to go and train. Although we have those support systems that motivate us, encourage us, like see the bigger picture, they see our goal, they see our vision, it's still at the end of the day, has to be you that wants to, you know, dig a little deeper, go a little more, and just knowing that you have someone that is there to have your back in case you do fall on your face or need a little extra pick me up. So making sure you steer clear of like that connection, absolutely. You need to have some moral support as well as, you know, obviously someone that is there, maybe not trying to put the dirty food in your face when you're trying to eat clean, right? Like, I think that's your, and some people do it out of just kind of,
oh my God.
But they,
how many times have you seen like a client, right, where they've come to you and they're like, oh, you know, this has been going great. I've been tracking so well. Like everything's on point and they're feeling really great and in control and finally healthy. And then they're like, and then my partner's sitting across from me with, you know, I don't know,
McDonald's. Chicken wings and pizza. McDonald's.
Yeah, pizza. Like just, you know what I mean? Like all of the shit, right? Oh, get this. The one that I always get a lot of is my partner's prepping at the same time, or my partner's going through, you know, powerlifting or something completely different to my goal, right? But his objective is eat all the foods, big, massive cheat days, one big day where they blow their body up with so much food. And the missus is sitting there trying to eat salad, right?
Yeah. it's my cut day, babe. I'm trying to cut and they're trying to gain. And, and it is a very opposite. And I think even then, like they understand their lifestyles though, although you kind of put yourself in a restrictive mindset whenever you are in a leaner, you know, leaning out phase or trying to be in a weight loss phase, it's more about really just trying to know that you are going to maybe go through some of these points where you do need a little help, you know, just supportively, like you just need a buddy support system. And that's when you have friends and maybe some other little, you know, it doesn't have to be a partner. It doesn't have to be someone literally in your home. It could just be a friend you can ring up and, you know, say, hey, I struggled on, you know, really not cheating today. And they'll totally understand, you know, you left your keys, you know, obviously inside the car, you locked your car, you know what I mean? You get into the gym and you're like bawling because you've literally kind of lost your shit. Like someone that understands kind of where you're at. Again, it doesn't have to be extreme, but someone that can actually come to just kind of talk a little sense into you sometimes.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Do you know what I love about that? What you just touched on is that old saying, right? That you're the average of the five people you hang out with the most. And that research shows that your environment is the thing that can have the most profound impact on you having a strong network in place. And then also you being able to actually achieve your goals, right? So I think that this is an opportunity to, exactly as you just said, you know, reassess too, who's in your circle, who's in your sphere. Are they rowing the boat with you? Are they digging holes down the bottom of at the front of the boat while you're trying to paddle at the back? Like, I mean, Jesus.
You hit it there because it's so true. Sometimes you don't realize just those people that are so close to you are actually the ones kind of holding you back. And this is a very hard thing to overcome if you know they're the closest people to you that you have to just distance yourself from. And I think distancing yourself from these individuals is hard, because it was hard for me when I knew my lifestyle was changing. I loved these friends. They were friends that I grew up with. And I think when it was really time to like really separate and not really have them a part of my life is often, that doesn't mean that I couldn't really, you know, say hi and bye and check up on them and see how they were doing. Their lifestyle did not match mine. So if I were to hang out with them, normally drinking would be involved. And, you know, obviously my eating would go out the window, and maybe the next day I didn't train. So those relationships did no service to my goal. And although they were awesome friends and they're still good friends of mine, it's some relationships you do have to kind of separate yourself from and align your new relationships to be those that are going to help you succeed in that goal and the path that you're trying to walk.
Yeah. And you know, look, that's actually a really good point. I've discussed this with many clients where I've sort of been like, it's not about, you know, viewing or grieving the change in the dynamic in your friendship circle, but more so celebrating the opportunity for new connections to come in and sort of give you more than the existing ones can. It doesn't mean you have to completely remove them, but you just remove the space and the role they hold in your life, right? I had to undergo all of that too. I completely appreciate everything you said about, you know, the concept of cycling out the friendship circles. I just wanted to piss on, because you know, you definitely have them in your past. I had them in corporate. So, you know, being able to remove the ones that just didn't, or I should say, I never removed them. They're still in my friendship circle. I limited my exposure, and I chose the times of the year where my off season allowed me to have the time with them. You know what I mean? I know you're laughing because you totally did the same thing, but it's, you had to do it, and I still do it. Like, and you know what I also found happened for me? The more respect that I gave my relationship to, and the more boundaries I put in place with myself and the context of my relationship, the same thing happened again. You know, if my friends or my friendship circle were not supporting the goals of us as a team or where we were going, then again, I cycled them out. You know what I mean? Like, I think there is nothing wrong with being very picky and very, you know, I think conscientiously considered in the way you structure your friendship circle. I think it's going to make or break your ability. And especially when you're looking at like something as can be emotionally entwined as a weight loss goal, because there can be so many triggers and so many things that have stopped you from being where you want to be in the past, right? And they can be everything from, you know, potentially even codependency relationship issues, right, through to self-worth and self-esteem and all these other things. And if you don't have someone rowing your boat with you and building those areas up, how do you ever expect to make a change or a sustainable change for a long time in those areas, right?
100%. And I think another thing to add to that is sometimes we're rowing the boat along with someone else, right? But then we're also not wanting the same input. Like, we don't want the same success for them. And that means that you're also in a position where you should be aligning yourself with someone that you want to actually be around. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have that jealousy, and that's not good to have. Like, if you're within a circle where you're, you know, and this is not even a topic about jealousy, but it's just more about saying, like, if your feelings truly, you know, are making you feel less, you know, or about yourself, of this individual, you know, is obviously someone that wants to see better for you, but you don't want to see better for them. There are some situations like that. And it's just one of those things that you're just going to be abusing the relationship. You're going to be actually the abuser versus being abused. It's just more about trying to make sure you do have those. And look, if there's only 5 slots, I would really look at it. Like, I only get 5 slots, and you can have more friends and you can have more people close to you in your inner circle. But if you can be selective, like you said, it's just actually really truly seeing who is going to bring value of your life, but do you bring value to their life, or are you sucking them dry too? And this is where I'm getting at. Like, you need to also believe in them as much as they believe in you. And if they don't believe in you, they're not someone that should be, honestly, really, really part of your day-to-day basis. They can still be friends. Just show them, watch you work, and let them be friends whenever they actually see you at on top of success. Those are the come and go friends, you know? So it's more about really finding those loyal, true, you know, people that truly believe in your dream and your goal and are going to sit there and also row the boat with you.
Exactly. So I guess, you know, when you think about support, Steph, what are the sorts of things that immediately come to your mind? And what are the things that you've seen, I guess, with clients and those around you, perhaps, that have struggled with it in the past?
You know, support is one of the biggest needed tools, I think, in all successful people in any part of life. It's not just with fitness journey. It's also with just your career, emotionalist, you know, like, it's just trying to actually have someone you can rely on. It's not necessarily someone you depend on. It's someone that you know can be there no matter what, through thick, through thin. And it doesn't have to be a partner. It could literally be your mother. It could be, you know, your sister. It could be a long lost sister that you consider now, you know, obviously it's your best friend that you consider a sister now. It really is more about having someone you can ring up They know you for you. You're not lying to them or lying to yourself as to what, you know, really is truly going on deep down inside. And at the same time, it's just making sure that you are true to yourself, because if you continue lying to these other people, you know, you're really not servicing yourself. You have to really, truly know what is your goal in life? What is it that you want? Even if you don't know your purpose or what your passion is, make sure you still wake up with some direction, whether if that is with routine, if you do want a weight loss goal, if you want, you know, to build your career up, making sure you're surrounded with those people that believe in those goals with you.
I really love that. So, you know, looking at the emotional context of that, that's really touching on what you're talking about, having someone that can be leaned on, someone that can, you know, pick you up, you're feeling discouraged, someone that can empower and motivate you. I think another really good thing to think about with support too, especially for all the mothers and the parents out there that are juggling busy households and, you know, competing interests, it's sometimes a practical thing. It's having in-laws, or it's having parents, or it's having siblings that can look after your kids while you go exercise, or pick them up or drop them off to extracurricular while you're finishing work later because you might have gone and exercise in the morning early. I mean, it's not always even just the person that you might confide in. It can be the person that literally is the turnkey that allows you to then have your goal achieved, right? Or it could be, you know, like when I'm training with Steph and doing Metcon, because it's the only time I'll do cardio, she's inspiring me to get up and do something more and move in a way I wouldn't normally do, because this bitch does a lot of Metcon. But, you know, that's another example. You can have friends, or you can be motivated and inspired by someone that you admire, you know, and it doesn't, as you talked about before, it doesn't have to be this competition jealousy thing. It's just it's a mutual respect thing that you can have for someone.
Exactly.
I think that's another really healthy form of support. I think another really healthy form of support is someone who makes you think about where you sit and want to level up, that supports you becoming better or more than, and doesn't try to detract or hold you down, put a ceiling on you, and someone that wants to be part of the vehicle of your success but doesn't expect anything in return. Because in return, what they should get is the same treatment from you. You should be a mutually beneficial level of support, right? So, you know, for me, I think when we're talking about these things, right, and we're thinking about, you know, support as a whole, what it looks like, what it means, I think that the biggest thing, and correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, is communication, right?
100%. And that's for any human, like for just not connection, but it's more about how you communicate. Your communication skills are going to really translate to everything in your life, not just in fitness. Like if you can't communicate with even just a customer service person, then they can't help you. You have to know how to even communicate with others. Some people come with such a rude tone already, and that's like lack of communication. And you think that this person is trying to be aggressive or rude, or you know, very wishy-washy with you or whatever. And in reality, they just don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to even put their own context, you know, put together. So trying to make sure you do open yourself up, and you know, again, like your true self. I think we just create so many lies for ourselves. And going back to the support, you have to support your own self, like before you even seek for others to support you. It's more about like staying true to you, lying to yourself, cut it out, and knowing when you are lying to yourself. Because yes, you can have somebody tell you that you're lying to yourself, but you're not gonna really care. You're gonna be called out, you're gonna get mad at them. They're calling me out, they don't believe in me, you know, like that, all this. And it's just more about just calling yourself out first and not being upset about any constructive criticism that these people that love you actually are giving you. I think it's being open to their actual observations that you may not be aware of, having a second eye, which is very important within the support system, I think, as well. It's not just
also, sometimes you can have someone calling you out too, if you're not being true to the goal you've set yourself, right? So, you know, that's not a negative behavior. That's where they're actually holding you accountable to the goal you've established, and you've communicated to them, if you're communicating well, what your needs and wants are, right? So I think first and foremost, when we're addressing this, when people always ask, how do I deal with these people in my life? Like, oh my God, you know, my first thing is you need to actually sit down and communicate with them. Like you really need to be really clear about, hey, this behavior makes me feel like this. This is where my goals are. This is what's important to me. You know, being able to explain the things that you're trying to achieve and what it's going to take to get there and some of the things that might happen along the way means that they're going to understand some of the journey. They can kind of have a little bit more empathy along the sidelines, but they can be your biggest cheerleaders and help you along too, right? So for a lot of people, they don't like to ask for help, Steph. So then how can they expect people to turn up and be there for them. If they can't be like, hey, Steph, I freaking need your help today because of this, this, and this.
How did I know I was supposed to be there, Allie? You didn't call me.
Exactly. Right. So I guess, you know, we'll bring it back to the fact that all of these people in your life really matter, you know, and there's research and evidence and mountains of data that shows that we actually physically need these things, whether we like to admit it or not, we do. So that's number one. But the number two is those other people don't know what we need unless we tell them. Unless we communicate it, like in all honesty, right?
Exactly. Your partner can't read your mind as much as we wish they could, but they can't. Okay. So
and we kind of go, what's wrong with you when you get it wrong?
Oh, no.
Hey, you know, it's not actually.
You'll be pissed. You'll give them the whole glare. As to, what do you mean, what's wrong with me? You should know what's wrong with
me. Can't you read my mind, man? We married or what?
Yeah, I thought you could, you know?
I thought you could.
It's more about actually, like you said, you nailed it when it comes about addressing what your wants, what your needs are, what you expect. And this applies to your relationship too.
Yeah, correct.
The only way to have a good relationship, not just with your partner, but with your friends is actually like, look, this, I am not okay with that. Like this went down this way and this is what I believe. And I'm sorry, we don't see eye to eye, but that's at least literally putting it out in the open and you can, you know, correct it, whether if it's a two-party, you know, kind of issue, or if it's something that you have to correct internally. It's like, oh snap, maybe I need to revisit and reassess how that situation really happened. Maybe I felt like the victim, you know, but in reality I was just being defensive, and I can take that as some maybe constructive criticism.
Exactly. But it does apply. And I think too, you know, being able to have that conversation where you say to your partner, you know, look, I really value my time with you. I don't want to detract from our time together to achieve my goal. So let's do walks together every day. Let's hit the gym. Let's make the gym our thing. I'd love you to spot me. I'd love to, you know, get your partner involved in some of this stuff. Cause I think a lot of people feel like the partners feel isolated or rejected by the process.
Yeah.
So I would say number one, that's a really good thing to do. You know, let your best friend know you're probably going to fall apart at times and you'd really love her to be there should you need to vent or give her a call. Like it's just those really little things, right? And I think you'll find your feet along the way. But let me throw this out there though, and I know you're going to agree with me, not everyone's going to be supportive and not everyone's going to be positive, and you are going to have, and I urge you to expect some of the most unsupportive behaviors that you will find. And it's not uncommon for it to come from a partner, a family member, a mother, a sister. Most, when they feel threatened, as you start to lose weight, look great, and achieve your goals, if they have not been able to do so themselves. Is this about you? No, it's not. Never forget that. But just don't be surprised if you get presented with some of these unsupportive behaviors. But Steph, tell me, what do you do when you get one of your clients come to you and go, oh my God, you know what, like, I just can't get over this or this or this. This person in my life might be a mother, sister, or a partner doing this or this, because it usually tends to be, right? Those really prolific roles in our lives that tend to be the ones that, if they are going to show unsupportive behavior, it tends to come from there. What do you say to them? What's your go-to strategy when you're giving advice on this?
Number one is distance yourself. It's get the fuck away from them. Honestly, the best way you possibly can, as much as you can. And of course, if it's your mother, if it's your sister, if it's someone that close to you, it's a little difficult. And there is a distance aspect where you can just literally have family time. Once it starts going into you're judging what I am doing, we're kind of done talking, you know, we're done talking, or we're not, and not that you're done talking to them. It's just like, let's move on to another topic and making it clear to them, look, we don't see eye to eye with this. And I am going to continue following my dreams, you know, obviously chasing these goals, and I'm going to live this new lifestyle. If you want to maybe join me in this lifestyle, you are more than welcome to join me. I will help. I will be here. But if you're not walking along with my path, I can't spend time with you. These are the times. And it's just kind of creating those boundaries. And actually having some really good regimented, you know, scheduling for yourself, even with your social time. Social support means social settings sometimes. And then maybe the people that you surround yourself with are the ones that are the ones sabotaging and putting you in a bad mood. I think another strategy that helps a lot is just making sure that you do open up, you know, obviously to them and let them know just how you feel, so they don't feel that you are like trying to break ties as a family. It's like, look, no, I'm not trying to disown you. It's just, I can't maybe do this for this certain amount of time. And then they revisit understanding that maybe they do love seeing your new self and the way you've created this new lifestyle. And My biggest thing is being able to actually inspire your own family. I think my biggest thing here in my own journey is being able to walk my own path and create a new lifestyle for them to follow in my path, you know?
Yeah,
and
I think
that is just kind of, and I had to walk alone for a very, very long time. I didn't have a lot of, you know, people that were doing what I was doing. And actually, like I said, I had opposite lifestyle individuals surrounding me in every direction, that I was the one that left and they thought I was stuck up. And they're like, oh, she thinks she's better than everybody. She thinks that, you know, she's brainwashed by Carrie. Oh my God. Like, I swear.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, and it wasn't anything like that. I was literally genuinely wanting to rediscover and create this new self that I am obviously living in. And so it still goes back to cutting off some of those ties and kind of re-putting those boundaries to something that makes more sense for your new goals. For
I
sure.
really love the fact too, that you talked about, you know, this isn't about me not loving you or you not having space in my life. This is actually about me choosing a new lifestyle, a new focus, or putting health and quality of life to the forefront. Right. So I really love that, because what we tend to see, and most people listening to this will probably resonate with this somewhat, is that you have those social settings and those situations, especially if you come from a big cultural family, right? Like I'm talking like big fat Greek, and your influences too are the same, right? It's really big food dominated social events. Yeah. So it's, you know, your mother getting hurt that you're not eating a certain round of food, or that you're choosing to eat out of Tupperware versus the family meal, or, you know, that you've turned up to these social events and you're not drinking and everyone else is, it might be a wedding, like whatever the hell it is, right? We've all been in those scenarios. And I think that, you know, the key message here is you got to remember they're only meeting you at the depths within which they've met themselves, right? And they've put all their value around their ability to provide for the family and make you feel good through food and bring the family together through connection through food and the cultural elements. So instead of being like, this sucks, and making them feel that way, it's more of a case of, you know, I'm really vested in taking this new approach to my lifestyle. I'm committed to these changes for me. I'm committed to these changes perhaps for my bigger why, which might be my direct family unit that I've built with my partner and my kids, my whatever else. And you're important to me, and where I come from, I'll never forget. What my culture is, I'll never forget. But there are just periods of time where I have to do things slightly differently or a slightly healthier way or whatever it is, right? And then I would strongly suggest that it's an educational part that you include them in, where it's like, hey, mom, let's go make this instead today. And let's throw this salad in the mix of all of the other spread of stuff. And then you'd have a small amount of the other things, but then you predominantly eat the stuff that's your friendly food, right? That's one way of attacking it, where you're not upsetting or offending anyone, but you're including them in the journey too. I'm sure you've come across this one.
Oh yeah. Oh no. That's how I'm trying to even get the look. It's a slow process. Your family is not going to follow in the same momentum and obviously at the same rate of your progress, because you're more committed. You're wanting this for yourself. You have this bigger vision and goal. But once you start paving that path and they see the results that you also reach, but at the same time, see how much healthier, how much happier, and how everything starts falling into place for your own life, they want some of that. Give me some of that peace. What are you doing? Can I do some of that? You know, and so you start actually being the leader here. And if you can inspire your own family members, and this is what I would really, really love for you listeners to take home, is if you can make one difference in someone's life and they're the closest people to you, wouldn't that be enough for you? I mean, honestly, to me, it is one of the most powerful things in the world, being able to change my own family's life. And it wasn't going to be from force. Don't force your family. As much as I tried doing it at the beginning, I tried forcing them to, you know, change, and I, because they were non-supporters, they actually thought I was, you know, doing something crazy, you know, this was just going to be a phase of my life. And I was just practically just dumb for the things that I selected to do, you know, because they're good. They'll be really harsh. Your most loved ones will be very, very,
They don't come around. They tell you exactly what they think. They cut you at the knees.
They cut you very painful, right? Yes.
And this is where I think, you know, it's, again, we're honing in on this concept of just being able to be really open in your communication. Say, hey, look, I don't appreciate that. Like, that really hurts me when you come with me with that. Because, hey, you know, mom, dad, whoever it is, I don't tell you that you're a fool for doing this, this, and this.
Yes, right? Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. I'm sorry you were married. I'm sorry. Like I'm saying honestly, like, I'm sorry you're in a relationship that you're so upset about, honestly, right? Like, sometimes other people's problems, whenever they try to bring those problems onto you, or just that negative here. And again, it's them looking at themselves. Like you said, sometimes it's just those deeper inner fears or even like things that they don't like about themselves that they're actually trying to point out. None of your business. And if you don't have people even close to wanting to support you, you are going to have to walk alone. You are going to have to get maybe some international friends. And what I mean by that is like, we have this connection to where if I know I needed to obviously hit her up, I can hit up Allie and, you know, obviously, you know, vent, rant or whatever I needed to do. And she'd completely understand where I'm coming from. But if I didn't have anybody locally, there is social media, there is the phone, there is, you know, obviously
Yes. Groups, like the concept of connection comes with the concept of community too, right? Yeah. And communities and groups are a great starting point for anyone who's a real beginner. Now, you've got access to these everywhere. They're online, they're in apps, they're in functional fitness settings. Like you can literally go to a million and one different avenues and tap into something that feels right for you, right? Yep. And it can give you a starting point. It just gives you the capacity
to like minded people.
Correct.
Build up those relationships of people that have this interest of you. Doesn't have to be fitness related. Yeah. It could be heck, I don't know if you're in crocheting. I don't know what your interests are. Like seriously, whatever it is that you're using as a hobby, if you are doing some things that are, of course, like, of course, fitness related, if you're into CrossFit, looking up CrossFit groups, if you're into more powerlifting, going into powerlifting groups, you know, being able to course competition communities or different type of federations you're following, that each one has their own community. So you would be able to for sure connect with other individuals across the globe. It doesn't have to be someone literally within your network that you see on an everyday basis or that you even know of. Because unfortunately, sometimes you don't even know one positive person in your life. And that's like really sad. You're probably the most positive person that you deal with. And so it's like, okay, if I'm the shining light in this world around my community, I need to have some others kind of rub off on me, and I can't be one giving light here. So you also need that connection with someone else that is like-minded, that can really give you a little extra boost on the days that you need.
What I really love about this, if we break this apart for a second and we start talking about how we actually build and maintain a social network, you've touched on something that I really love here, which is learning who is best in what roles, because the reality is you've got exposure to so many people in your immediate circle, potentially, you might not, right? But identifying who sits best in what role. So, you know, who's going to be the person that you have as a confidant that you will vent to? Who's going to be the person that you get to go on your walks with you? Who's going to be the person that turns up and does some of the crazy cardio sessions like I do with Stephanie and Metcon? I mean, you just have, you have your people, what I call aces in their places, right? And you really start to foster those relationships, because relationships are like anything. It doesn't matter whether it's the relationship of your network and your support team or your direct partner or one of your family members. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes energy, and it's a two-way street. You can't just expect everyone to give you something because you need it at that point in time. It has to be a mutually beneficial relationship where you're both fostering, nurturing, supporting one another's objectives. So I think, yeah, Steph is right. Finding out, okay, who is going to be the best for you in the emotional context, in the practical context, who inspires you, and then cultivating those humans in those roles, in those respectful manners, right? So that you essentially then develop this beautiful network of really like-minded, supportive individuals, people that may challenge you as well as encourage you, you know, people that might pull you up on your bullshit and keep you accountable, as well as, you know, enable you to get things done, tick your boxes, hit the cardio, get to the gym, whatever it is, right? So I love that. That's definitely a very big tick and a very big box that you need to consider and fill when you're looking at, well, how do I build this and how do I maintain this? So we've talked about the fact that the right people in the right places, but also maintain those relationships is super important. I think the next thing is recognizing the give and take in any relationship. And I mean, Steph, you'll have seen this with your team, I'm sure, at times where people get very narrow-minded in their goals and they forget that, hey, you know what, Mary Jane isn't going to always be there every time I need her for this, this, and this, and this. If I just don't answer her text messages, turn up every now and then, maybe ask how her day is going too. You know what I mean?
They're very selfish. I just consider, look, those clients that you're talking about, I just consider them as selfish individuals. They're usually the ones that they expect you to be there literally on the call, on the moment, on the minute. But then the moment that someone just asks them for a lending hand, they're going to be ghosting you, right? Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. It's really trying to, like, that's why I said at the beginning, it's like, you have to have a mutual relationship. It's not, has to be a jealousy format where you're just hanging out with this person because you're jealous of what they have and you're trying to, like, do what they do. And it doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. You have to genuinely respect that individual. You have to want to be around them. They have to want to be around you. They have to want to see you succeed, vice versa. And that goes in all types of relationships, whether that's your best friend, your partner. The best type of relationships I've seen amongst not just clients, but, you know, people within my life are those that support each other's dreams and actually push each other to be better. Don't allow themselves to stay mediocre and stay complacent with themselves. Yep. And continue pushing. You enjoy the ride, but at the same time, they're there to, you know, fall on their face with you. Yes. And then when they're right back up, you guys push together forward. And that's a team. That's honestly the support that I would be considering more of an actual team effort, because you don't do that shit alone. There's no way whenever you get on those rough times that you can literally say, I can do this. I'm, like, so powerful to get out of this. And that's when you're most valued. And I mean that, like, that's when, for me, of course, it's Carrie. And that's when, you know, he comes and really, really makes sure I just kind of get back up and, you know, continue going. But it's more about having someone. It doesn't have to be your partner. It's just someone that you know is willing to succeed with you, is wanting to see you succeed, and you want to see them succeed as much.
I think one really good point of what you just said too is it's staying in touch. It's being honest. It's answering, you know, questions and emails and texts, even when you don't feel like it, right? So, you know, the support process is that these people are going to get down in the trenches with you in the middle of the Gaza Strip, getting legs blown up too, as long as you're willing to turn up and do the same with them.
Yeah.
So it's that concept of going, okay, let's give an example of this. So I've, you know, allowed something emotionally to hijack me. I've gone and I've got my head down, bum up in the kitchen pantry. I'm eating all of the kids' foods, an entire jar of Nutella's gone. And then I sit there and wallow, have guilt, and then continue to say, fuck it, for the rest of the week, because I've already done one day. So what's going to happen to me now? Rather than just pick up the phone and go, Steph, I'm an idiot. This is what I've just done. And I'm going to own it. Slap me through the phone and let's talk. Right. And then the next day I get up and my day, it's been one day, one moment, the week's derailed, because I've had someone there to pick me up and pull me out of my bullshit.
Absolutely. And that comes the same thing with venting emotionally. It doesn't even have to be about messing up. It can apply to, of course, you literally having just an episode, and rather than you going and freaking out on somebody that really doesn't deserve it, you being able to vent to someone close to you is going to allow you to not have those episodes. It is very powerful. I think it really comes down to not just having the support system, but also knowing that you have to genuinely be there for yourself first. Because sometimes we're the ones running around lost, trying to get help, but we're not even helping our own selves.
God, you need to
service yourself and know, okay, what it is that you need. But before you can ask anybody for anything, how can you ask if you don't even know what those really needs are? Don't ask what you want. There's a difference between want and need. So clarify those things. What do you need? Is that emotional support? Is that something like a buddy system that you need someone to actually motivate you to go to the gym? Or do you need someone to be able to, you know, obviously correct you and kind of give you a little slap in the ass and be like, hey, get back in check, you know, obviously accountability. So ask yourself, what do you need? Not what do you want? And that's going to allow you to kind of, you know, reassess your inner circle and, you know, who you're people that are supporting you. And if you don't have the inner support that you're looking for, it's okay to cut ties with everybody and restart. Just remember.
So I love all of those pointers. And I guess, you know, a great way to end today's discussion on this, because I think we've really highlighted a lot of things a lot of people would face day to day, is, you know, what do we think the top advantages are of having a support system? I mean, number one, I think, is always going to be a sense of belonging, because then you are part of a community. You know, it starts with family, it's your friends. You definitely feel like you're thriving, not just surviving, when you have purpose, direction, and this shared unity, right? I truly believe we flourish to our real potential, right? When we are in that sort of environment, I think our environment 100% will, you know, be conducive to just how far we go. So, you know, that's the number one thing I think. What would you think would be another thing that, you know, is a true benefit for someone coming out of and you know, developing a strong sense of support network?
You get a sense of motivation. You get a new sense of actually wanting to push harder, prove to them that what they believe in is like legit. Like, hey, what you're believing in and actually like gassing me up for, you are right. Like, let me prove to you, not just to prove to myself, that you guys are literally helping me get there. You're my pedestal. You know, you're one of my stepping stones as to, you know, what's leading me to some success. So I think it does bring some sense of motivation at the same time, because you know that you are stronger when you're together rather than alone. So it does give you a sense of just more courage. So that's where I tie in that motivation side. It's like a courage really that you get, which motivates you to just kind of continue propelling forward. But no, I think you're right about like the connection and having really somebody just there. I think that's the most important. It really is. We're human beings and we all need a shoulder to sometimes cry on, and you know, someone to talk to, and or someone to, you know, maybe put a little sense into us.
I actually think too, you know, and I'm sure you feel this way as well, but how much of a stress reduction is it when you have a teammate that you can come home to and just literally be like, hey, you know what, this was really hard today, or hey, I know that I've got this event coming up and I'm really going to struggle with it, and these are the reasons why. And then they're just there literally to help you workshop it, come up with a strategy, create a solution, and you've got a shared load, even though it's still your primary focus. It's just something where you don't feel like it's all on your shoulders, you know what I mean? And they can really, I find it can be just such a decompression, you know, process, especially in a really stressful, everything's coming at you type environment, or maybe even if it's that phase to stage where it just kind of, you know, you just all of a sudden hit that moment, we all have it, where you kind of go, fuck yeah, okay, this is it, and I'm this far out, I know I am, yeah. And there's all of the things going on, and it's just, like I said, someone that can be, I guess, they walk alongside you in the journey for a period of time. They, you know, they really do help with the burden somewhat. And, you know, sometimes it can be for people just getting a friend to go on a hike with them. It can be, you know, kind of, I've done this on occasion. I've turned around to a couple of my closest girlfriends on occasion and been like, that's it. I'm booking a mountain retreat for 3 days. We're going. I just need to get out, work myself, get my feet in the ground, go hiking, like just literally tap out for a little bit, right? But I think that's another example of a support network that isn't necessarily always, you know, linked to food or whatever else. It's just literally just when you understand that it's a feel-good process and it really can be something that reduces overall stress levels, helps you relax, helps you move through some sticky situations.
No, I think that is so right. Nature brings so much serenity. I think that's just what you just said, walking outdoors into, you know, a 3-day camp. I'm like, oh man, that just sounds so nice. And I think that is one of the things too, that if you don't have actual, you know, individuals to connect with, hey, go outside, take in a breath, fresh air, go into nature and go and ask yourself these questions about what you need. Because again, it has to still derive from yourself before you start looking for others. Not just because of, you know, the fact that you want people in your life, like we all want someone in our lives, but having too many people really clouds, not just your judgment, because you get so many mixed signals from all everyone's opinions. You just want to really care about those that are the closest that you care about and that you respect their opinion. So for sure, if you get out, because I'm going to take some of that and I'm going to make sure, you know, I get out into the nature because the weather's getting so nice here.
I'm so jealous. We're getting colder and colder, but you know, that's actually when I tend to go to the mountains more so, because in the cooler weather, we just literally get the fireplaces going. We get out, we'll hike. We're actually going to be doing a really big team hike, which is like it's a 60 kilometer hike round trip, right? But what we do is it's on two tabletops, like it's a massive big mountain tabletop, and you hike from one side across to the other, stay overnight, and then hike all the way back the following day. So we're going to be doing that actually within the next month, which is pretty cool, pretty exciting. So anyone's following our journey will be able to see some of the behind the scenes footage of us probably earthing up but dying, and then being support network with one another and chasing off snakes and spiders and all the great biteys that we have in Australia. Yeah.
Memories. And that's another thing with your support system is you create some of the best memories, and then like it could be, you know, in person or even with memories online. There's so many times we've been able to do Skypes and just connections and just chats that are very deep and meaningful and actually resonate with you. So connect with those across the globe, connect with those that you haven't connected with in a while, maybe disconnect with those that are disservicing you and not really bringing a lot of value to your life and not servicing your goals, and just really stay true to yourself. Like that's my biggest thing. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Well, for all of our listeners today, I really hope that you got some quality, you know, insight out of this. And I really hope, if nothing else, it's just let you understand that, hey, you're totally normal. If you face some of the negative stuff, or you've been in periods where you've gone, what's missing? Like, I just feel like there's a gap, and I can't really reconcile it within myself as to what I may not have. You know, support network might be the thing that you might be lacking, or it might not be as strong or as profound as what it could be. And so I hope there's been some good take-home tips on how to build and maintain and foster one of those. We'd love to help you further, though. If you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to drop us a comment, send us an inbox. You know, you can email us at the podcast email. And this week's episode will be across all of the platforms that we usually put it across. We will be sharing that. We'd really appreciate you commenting, rating us, giving us a bit of a shout out, and sharing us with friends and family. So that maybe this might be the way where you go, hey guys, we need to have a chat later, and then drop the podcast out in front of them.
This is the intro combo to those hard conversations that may be coming up. Actually, great.
So good. Way.
All right, guys, it was a great episode. We'll catch you guys next time.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Steph. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Queen Divas, Queens of Fitness podcast. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Queen Divas Pod, on Twitter at Queen Divas 4, and follow our hosts on Instagram, Alicia at Alicia Gowans _ WBFF Pro, and Steph at Stephanie Ayala 7. See you all next week.